Let's have a prayer now and we'll get more study. Father, thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this time to share with everybody here things on my heart, the examples of Christian people that have gone on before us. Some still living with us, Lord, and having these great testimonies that we can see as evidence of your power in their lives. Continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us in everything that we do. In your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, turn your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. In the 8th chapter. By the way, this lady told me, she said, I've already been on the last lesson that you had in Zechariah. I said, I hope you finish up the 8th chapter this week. I said, we will try. She's keeping up with it. You know, if you go to any library or any Christian bookstore, you can find many, many other books of commentaries about a lot of the books of the Bible. But you'll find very few in the book of Zechariah. Just not many people write about it. I think we finished up the 13th verse last Sunday. I believe I'm correct on that. So we'll start the 14th verse here. Now the 13th verse talks about Israel being a curse among the heathen. In other words, all the Gentile nations looked at Israel and they'd seen what God had done to them. And they said, yeah, if you don't behave, look at the Jews, look at them. I mean, they were an object of disdain throughout the world at that time. But God is going to change all that. And he said, there's going to be a time here when I'm going to bless you and the rest of the world is going to look at you and say, man, I want to be like those people. Now, that hasn't happened yet. Read your newspapers today or turn on the news and see if anybody in the world is saying, we want to be like Israel. Man, that's the place. They're the example. That's not happening today. That's future. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, again that term, Lord of hosts, Lord of armies, power, strength. As I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me in wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. Zechariah tells them, I want you to remember now, your fathers, your forefathers here, it came into my mind to punish them because of their behavior. And I didn't change my mind about that. I punished them. You've seen the result of my wrath. Here you are now, and the city is destroyed, and the temple is destroyed. You see what happened to your forefathers because of my wrath, and I didn't change my mind about it. Verse 15. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. He says, now I'm thinking that I'm now going to bless you. These are the things that ye shall do. God says, okay, you want my blessings? Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. He puts this as a condition. If you want my blessings, listen to what you've got to do. I want you to speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Be honest with your fellow man. That's with your neighbor. That's with everybody you meet, your business associates. In a world today where we see that being the last thing that you see, from the high government offices all the way down to the lowest echelons of the working people, it's hard to find an honest man anymore. It really is. I mean, everybody's got to where they distrust everybody now. You go to buy some kind of a refrigerator like Bonnie and I did the other day, and they want you to sign six pieces of paper that has so much legal print, you've got to have a magnifying glass to see what it says. If you want to take a pill, Dr. Lanning can tell you right now, there'll be four pages that you've got to read about it, as big as a newspaper, tell you what will happen to you if you have a bad effect from it. It's hard today to find an honest person. My doctor the other day wanted to give me some medicine. I said, there's four pages in the paper I saw today that's a disclaimer. I'm scared to take it. I haven't read all of it yet. It may take me another 2 or 3 months. I'll wait and see. But you may die in the meantime. That's all right. I know what I'm reading, what I'm taking when I do. Dr. Lane, you know it's true. I feel for y'all what you have to go through. Okay. The truth to your neighbor. Execute judgment, truth, and peace in your... In those days when you had an issue with somebody and you couldn't settle it, you went to the city gate, and that's where the judges sit. And that's what he's saying. Hey, you judges... You that are sitting in the city gates here, You execute truth and peace to these people that have an issue. Go in a courtroom today. Any of you ever been on a witness stand? I want you to raise your hands. I have. And I'm going to tell you what, it is not a pleasant experience. They want to take any word that you say, if they possibly can, and turn it and twist it around to mean something you didn't say. Me and some lawyers have had some very strong disagreements on the witness stand. The judge has even called me down one time. Verse 17, "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord." Now, I know this word is strong. The word hate is strong. And when you're raising your children, say, don't ever say you hate something. How many times we've all said it, including me. But let me tell you something. There's some things that God hates. Now, this word in the Hebrew that's translated hate here can mean anything from a venomous hatred of something to a point that you want to do away with it to all of the range of emotions involved in that, down to, well, I just don't like it. Okay? You have to take, as it's translated here, in the context of what it is to understand the strength of disapproval that God is expressing. Alright? He says here, I hate false oaths. These things I hate, saith the Lord. I would take this to mean that God is very strongly against it. Okay? So, whatever level of hate you want to put on that, God put a pretty strong thing as to how you treat your fellow man. "The word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts." Remember these fasts I was telling you about? We had two of them that were mentioned before, and I told you there was four. Notice this. The fast of the fourth month, fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth. Now, they mentioned two earlier. Now, he's mentioned all four of them. God did not give Israel any fast. These people cooked up these fast days themselves when Jerusalem was encompassed about and received, when the walls were broken down, when the temple was destroyed, and when their governor was set up over there and he was murdered. They set up these fast days to commemorate the days in their history that meant so much to them. So that every time this date came around, they all fasted and they cried and they moaned about it. God didn't tell them to do it. They just did it. It'd be kind of like if the United States put up 9/11 and said, "Hey, from now on, we're going to have a fast day, guys." Now, God didn't tell us to do it, but we could do it on our own. And on that day, we're going to cry, we're going to moan, we're going to fast, we're not going to eat, we're all going to go to church. That's what they had done. Without God telling them to do it, he said, "I want you to notice these four fast days now shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace." God says, these four fast days that you set up on your own and you're crying and you're moaning and you're fasting these 4 days because of things that happened to your nation wide and your dispersion and your trial and tribulation, he said, "I'm going to make them feast days. If you want to celebrate them, that's all right. But sometime in the future, instead of fasting, we're going to make feasts out of it. It's going to be a time of joy and happiness." When's that going to occur? It hadn't in history yet. So it's some future event. When God rules this earth in the millennium, he's going to take these four fast days and make them feast days, make them times of happiness. Now, a lot of you this afternoon are going to get around with family and friends, and you're going to cook up all kinds of special goodies and treats and watch a ball game and just have a lot of fun with your family and friends, and you're going to have a feast. That's what God said. I'm going to turn these fasts into feasts sometime in your future. Verse 20. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities." Now, notice God is talking about the future, even beyond our time. This has gone on now for 2,500 years, and none of this has happened yet. So this is still a future event. This is why a lot of people do not like to study the book of Zechariah, why a lot of commentators don't like to commentate on the book of Zechariah, because it elevates the Jews to the position of rulership in this world in a coming future day. The world doesn't like it. For most regards, the church doesn't like it because they don't like being replaced. And the Gentile nations just cannot envision that little old place over there now, settled by a few million Jews, being the leading nation of the world and everybody coming and paying homage to them. They just can't stand the idea. They want to destroy them, eliminate them. It's not going to happen. He says here, there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Now notice in this time, it's talking about the millennium, there's going to be somebody go from one city to another and say, listen, let's go. Let's all get together and let's go down to Jerusalem and let's pray before the Lord. I mean, they were happy. They were excited. They wanted to do this. You don't see that happening today. The Vatican's meeting over there with emissaries from other nations and religions, and they're saying, we need to take Jerusalem, divide it up. You have this section, I'll have this section, you have this section over here. And the nations will divide Jerusalem up. We'll divide it into so many ways, politically and religiously, that you won't even know it's a city. We'll all have our little piece of the pie. Now that's what the world is attempting to do today, right now as I speak. But here it says that during this time, people are going to go from city to city and say, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go pray before the Lord because He's going to be there. He's not there right now. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. You've never seen this happen in history. Since this was written in 500 B.C., about there, that has not happened. It's something in the future. The Lord has not ruled from Jerusalem. The Gentiles haven't rushed there to pray and to seek God. It hadn't happened. It's coming. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now in the future, during the millennial reign of Christ, when Jesus is ruling from Jerusalem, and this is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the Bible is absolutely solid on how long it's going to be, where it's going to be, and where all the nations are going to be. Many people who claim to be Christians reject there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ. I don't know how much simpler and plainer the Bible could make it. Even here in Zechariah, it says here, the people, this term 10 men is a term that means a great many. The word 10 here means a great many of people. What it's going to say during the millennial reign of Christ, when the Jews are ruling from Jerusalem and Christ is there and He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years on this earth, all the nations that come through the tribulation period, you know, you're going to have the sheep nations and the goat nations. Well, the sheep nations, the saved ones, are going to look around and say, the blessings are coming from Jerusalem. The Lord is living there. Let's go get with these Jews. And any of you have ever seen the attire of the Jewish people? Actually, they wore something. Their outer covering would have fringes. The priests would have fringes all around the bottom. Donna brought me a prayer shawl from Israel when she made her trip over there. And I'll just tell you right now, a lot of times I get back there and I put it on. I like it. It's got fringes all over it. And this is what this is saying. The Gentiles of the world are going to realize where the blessings are coming from. And they're going to say, hey, Jew, if you're headed to Jerusalem, let me grab hold of your skirt. That fringe, just let me get a hold and touch that and go with you to Jerusalem to get the blessings that God has got for us over there. Because you're the ones that are blessed now, not us. Any questions on that? I know that's not popular, and a lot of people are going to hear this message today are going to think that guy is absolutely crazy for thinking the Jewish nation who's sitting over there today, and there are people who are plotting their total annihilation with nuclear weapons I mean, that I have got to be nuts. Listen, I didn't write this. God wrote it. All thing I can tell you is I read it and I believe it. I do know that in 2,500 years since this was written, it has not occurred. So it's a future event. It's not dictated by the will of man. It's dictated by the sovereignty of God. You say, well, the Jews are only, they don't believe in Christ. That's right, they don't. They're in unbelief. But there's coming a time, and we're going to go through some of this in the latter part of Zechariah, as to why they're going to believe. They're going to change. They're going to change your heart. You're talking about a revival. Everybody looking for a revival. There's going to be one. In the nation of Israel, like it never has been in all of history, is coming. And then they will seek the Lord. And whatever's left of them, which won't be very, very many, but percentage-wise, one-third, they're going to seek God, and He's going to be ruling from Jerusalem, and that city and nation will be His and dominate this earth for 1,000 years during the millennial reign. Gentiles, we're going to take second place, regardless of what we like or what we think. That's the way it's going to be. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Revelation,
Well, in the latter part of Revelation, like when you get into chapter 20, 21, and 22, where it mentions the millennial reign, this is where all this is really going to take place. And that's one of the reasons I want to study Zechariah, because Zechariah, as he gets in these latter chapters here especially, he starts filling in some details that Revelation didn't fill in, that, you know, pointed to, but didn't give us some details. And Zechariah fills in some of these details about the millennial reign and the Jewish people and the Gentile people and what's going to be happening. So that's the reason I want to study Zechariah. It really is a good parallel book along with the book of Revelation, especially the latter chapters of it. So it'll fill in some of the blanks that I know that you've probably got right now of some details. And that's the reason I want to study the book of Zechariah. Because and there's a lot of other prophets that do, but Zechariah is one that I chose because so few people really want to study it or make comments on it. It's just not a popular book. It's kind of like the Hebrews, the New Testament. Most people shy away from the book of Hebrews like you would a grizzly bear, that's on my shirt. But I don't know why, because it's absolutely a marvelous book. Any other questions? So regardless of what you hear in the news, reading the paper, or anything else that's going on in the world, just always remember one thing, that God is sovereign, He's in control, and He says Jerusalem's going to be the capital city of the world one day, and Israel's going to be the leading nation in the world, and everybody that's left on the face of this earth is going to go down there if they want a blessing, and they're going to kneel and pray in Jerusalem to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not. Like I say, all of mankind is going to meet Him one way or another. I was talking to somebody the other day, he wasn't a Christian. Now, we were talking about different religions and things, and he was mentioning all different people. And I said, you know, here's the one thing I can tell you, and I put down the base of my entire eternal life on it, that you're not going to meet Buddha or Confucius or anybody else, but you are going to meet Jesus Christ someday in the future. And you make a choice. You can either meet Him as Savior or you can meet Him as Jewish. You make a choice. And I left the conversation off with that. They didn't go home and think about that at night when he lays down and his heart skips a beat and he thinks he's having a heart attack. You know, atheists become really strange people every time that heart misses a beat and they think, hey, the next one may not come. They sure do have a change of attitude. I've talked to a number of them. That's why, didn't it?
Carl, when the millennium comes and Christ is in Jerusalem, will our prayers not mean as much from the United States or from wherever we live? We don't need to go to Jerusalem?
Jerusalem will be, let me say, Ben said, well, what if you're somewhere else in the world? I think you can pray to God anywhere, but if you want the earthly blessings from God, you will have to pay homage and go to Jerusalem to honor Him. That's what it said. In fact, there's a Feast of Tabernacles out of the seven feasts given to Israel. We'll get into this maybe even in chapter 9. But the Feast of Tabernacles out of the seven feasts given to Israel, the Feast of Tabernacles will continue to be celebrated in honoring God during the millennial reign. Not the other six, but the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm not going to tell you what, today. I'm going to let you wait to come and hear the rest of the story on that one. There's a real good reason for that. But yeah, the blessings will come from it. Can you pray? Yes, you can pray. But notice these Gentiles here say, let's go with you to Jerusalem to pray and homage God there. And if you had a choice, let's face it, this morning, if any of us had a choice of either to sit here and listen to Brother Ken and me, or go to Jerusalem at the feet of Christ, where would you go? I'd forget about my place right here, right now, you know. I'd want to go to Jerusalem. That's where I'd want to go.
But this is after the rapture.
Oh, yeah, this is after. And the church is going to be ruling and reigning with it.
So you will probably be close to Christ.
Oh, yes. Depending on your servitude.
I know, but many said, would you believe America goes to?
America may not even be here.
That's what I thought.
Let me say this. A lot of people are asking about, where is the United States in prophecy? I have not found in my study of 40-something years of the Bible, I have not found any direct, let me underline that statement, any direct reference to the United States of America in prophecy. All right? Now, there are people writing books today and saying, here's where the United States is mentioned. I've read a number of them. I've read their references. I do not agree with them. We may be one of the young lions that are mentioned in Scripture, but that's as close as it comes. How we'll get through the tribulation period, what will happen to this nation, how much of it will survive during the tribulation, I don't know. I will say this, that how people will get through the tribulation period, the nation itself as a nation will be determined how they treat God's old ancient people Israel. So every time you see our politicians turning away from the nation of Israel, you better cringe a little bit, okay? Because God doesn't take that lightly. He says, I bless whoever blesses you, told Abraham, and whosoever chastises you, I will chastise. And if you don't believe that, look at the history of the nations that have persecuted the Jews. Just look at the history of them. I mean, it would take I'm going to use the term. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it. It would take an idiot not to be able to see what has happened to the nations through history. Look at England, look at Spain, look at France, look at Germany, look at Babylon, look at Assyria. On and on and on. Look at these nations, where they are today and what's happened to them. Some of them don't even exist today. And the ones that do exist aren't in too good a shape. So, just take a good look at what that shows you if you don't want to look at anything else. Yes, sir.
Jerusalem in a hot, dusty, dry, brown place.
Yeah.
As a whole, beautiful, green world.
Yeah.
It's not the most attractive place.
No. It's not. But, again, it's still God's place. Why He chose. That won't always remain that way. It will all. That all the topography over there that you see today, or the pictures that you. All that's going to change completely during the tribulation period. And we'll get into some of the changes here in the book of Zechariah. It describes some of them in detail. That's all going to change. It's going to be the most beautiful place in the world when it's through. Anybody at Rob?
Again, I know we covered a little bit, but the church is raptured. You mentioned something about the servitude. What does it kind of reflect to, like, those of us that have already been raptured or be ruling with Christ? How do we fit into that millennial reign? Recap, I guess, depending on what we did.
Rob's question is, how do we fit into the millennial reign after the rapture of the church? Well, after the rapture of the church, there's a judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And where we will be judged for our works. Not whether we're Christian, not where we're there. But we will be judged as to how we serve Him. And then we will be given positions accordingly as to our works for Christ. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about rewards. Christ talked quite a bit about it and how you serve Him. I say again, when you appear at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not an issue are you saved or lost. You're already saved and you wouldn't be there. But it is an issue of how did you serve me? And that's what it's talking about, the burning or submerging of your works in this baptism of fire. There's three baptisms mentioned in Scripture, not just one. And this is one of them. The baptism of your work put into fire to see what comes out. Gold, silver, and precious stones you'll be rewarded for, and you'll be given a position in the millennial reign based on how you serve Him in this life. That's what I tell people. If people could just realize that how you serve Him is going to determine your position in the kingdom in the millennial reign. It's so important. So many people think, well, I become a Christian, I accept Christ as Savior, and I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. Listen, that's wood, hay, and stubble. At the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to be burned up. He has given every Christian a task, a job, a talent. And what He's going to ask of you when you come up there, He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? You remember the talents? He asked each one of them, what did you do with what I gave you? This is every Christian has an opportunity, has a talent, has an ability, has a task. And the Master is going to demand an equal amount. From some, He's going to ask for 10 times. Some He's going to ask for 1. It depends. Only He knows. But you better be ready to hand Him usury. That is your works for Him. So that He will reward you. If you don't, He said, I'll take it away from you, give it to another. There's going to be what I call, I use this term, if I can't find anywhere else, this is just a country boy, Sunday school teacher talking, street sweepers in heaven. There's going to be people in heaven that's not going to have any rewards. They're going to get there by the skin of their teeth because they never served Christ. All they did was sit down and soak up the sunshine. They never got out and witnessed. They never studied. They never did anything at all to use their talents and abilities. Some of you all got marvelous talents. Tim can sing. Rainey can sing. I mean, on and on. And all of you got talents. They're all different. He didn't make us all the same. So, He expects all of us to use them, though. So, anybody, you know, use your talents. Any other questions? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this wonderful study of Zechariah that lets us realize that You are sovereign in this universe. Your will be done regardless of whatever happens on this earth by the hands of men, that You will exalt Jerusalem and the Jewish people one day in history. Let us always be mindful of how we treat Your old ancient people. Thank You for the many blessings. Thank You for getting us through this week. Watch over the Wilson family, Lord, and give them the strength that they need to endure the loss of this loved one and Bonnie's family and the loss of this wonderful Christian uncle of hers that I love so much. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week. Dick, everybody hold on just a minute. Dick needs to make an announcement.
Regarding our services tonight, there has been a change. We will at 6:30 have. Okay, thank you. At 6:30, we will have worship here in the auditorium. We are dismissing the discipleship classes, so the parenting class, the women's class, and the financial peace class will not meet tonight, and we will not have the chili supper and Super Bowl game tonight. So at 6:30, we'll have one session here in the auditorium that Brother Ken will lead, and then we'll be dismissed somewhere around 7:15. Hold on just a moment. Let me see me just in a few minutes. If you're not sure about the Bible drill, if you'll come down here, I've got a radio, Angela and Amy, and find out about that. I'm not sure about the Bible drill. My thinking is probably not going to have that either, because we just won't have anything related to the children tonight. But I'll verify that with you. Good question. Any other question? Okay, thank you. Be careful going home.